Our Sunday school lesson takes off where Brother Jimmy stopped reading, and that is in the fifth chapter of Mark, verses 14 through 19. And I'll read that and try to come up with something. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed of the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Now, Jesus has crossed the Sea of Galilee. I think that was the sea that he crossed, because he had been in Galilee. If you read back a couple of chapters in Mark, he had been in Galilee. So I believe he's crossed the Sea of Galilee into this, the country of the Gadarenes. So we stop and think a little bit about this people here, and how they reacted when Jesus got there, and how they got into this position to be where they were, of the mindset that they were. Now, I think that the children of Gad had not gone over and to possess the land that the Lord had given them. They had stopped short, and I didn't look this up in the Old Testament. I should have, but They had come to a land, and they said, you know, this is nice land right here. We think we're just going to take this, and we're not going to go on over into the land, because this is really nice. We like this area right here. And so that's what they did. And that was, like I said, on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and that's where the Lord is right now. Now, they were still Jews, and they still had the promise of the Lord, but they hadn't fully attained what the Lord had given unto them. And as I studied this and I thought about it, and the fact that they are attending to this herd of swine here, and how that they had been told that the swine are unclean animals, and yet it appears that they're growing swine, they're having swine. The picture that I get from all this is a people that has grown apart from the Lord, that has grown apart from God. They had allowed the commandments to slip away from them. And so this is over a period of hundreds of years, I guess maybe even like 2,000 years. I don't know the exact time frame, but it's a people that has fallen away from God. And they have come to accept that, you know, the swine were okay. They're growing the swine. They're going home. Now, I don't have anything against pork. I mean, I eat it just about every day. It's one of my favorite things, pork is, to eat. But they had been commanded in the Old Testament that was an unclean animal and they were not to eat it. And I think the reason for that commandment back at that time was to show that they were a separated people. And these people at this time, evidently, they weren't so separated. And we can draw parallels and examples of God's people today not being separated the way that we ought to. But for right now, let's just stick with the condition that this people is in. So we see here that the Lord has gone over into this country to talk with this people, to let them know what's going on, I guess, to preach, to testify to them. He's gone over to that land, and it said there in the in the second verse that when he was coming out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So as soon as he gets over there, he comes with this man that if anybody ever needed the Lord, this man needed Jesus. And we see here that we read there about what the Lord did and how the devils that were possessed in that man recognized Jesus. They knew who he was right off the bat. Jesus didn't have to introduce himself. They knew him. And they began to communicate back and forth. Now, I don't think that this, where it says here in the seventh verse, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" That wasn't the man speaking, I do not believe. I think that was the spirits that had control of that man's body. It says, "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And the answer to the Lord that the Lord gave them, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." The Lord is talking to those spirits. He's not talking to that man at that point. And he asked those spirits, "What is thy name?" Now, I go through all this just to make it clear that this man is possessed by these devils. This is not a this is literal. It's not the word has escaped me, the opposite of literal, of figurative. This is not a figure of speech here. So and the reason I'm kind of going across on that is because in the past, I've always wondered about that. I've always kind of had my doubts. I mean, we don't think of people being possessed by devils. We don't really, I mean, it's never been something that's been taught. And I think there's a reason for that. I'll try to get into that in a little bit. I don't know if I can cover it accurately or not. But at this point, I do believe this man, because of the words that Jesus spake and the things that the Bible teaches me, he was possessed by this devil. These devils had been entered into him. And as it says here, that he had broken the chains and broken the fetters, and that's not something that we would expect a man to be able to do. But the Lord has cast those devils out, and those devils knew that the Lord could do what he wanted. They knew, they recognized his authority, they recognized his power, and they asked him to don't cast us out of this country. I'm not exactly sure where they were in fear of being cast to. I have maybe a thought, but I won't get into that. But they picked out the swine and said, "Well, just put us over in the swine." Now, I believe the devils understood the commandments. I think they knew that the swine were unclean animals and that those people shouldn't have been eating them. But so the Lord did that thing. He cast them into the swine, and the swine, they went down the hill and they were drowned into the sea. So now going back to the people of that area, the Gadarenes. So in the 15th verse, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had been legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Now these are Jewish people, and they go and they know the history of this man. He's been around them in times past, and they understand what type of man he had been in the past. And they go up and they see him in his right mind, clothed, a normal looking man. And it says, "And they were afraid." So let's stop him. Why are they afraid? They've come across something good. They've come across someone that's worked a miracle, that's healed somebody, and their reaction is they're afraid. And I think that it's because they were so worldly, so caught up in the world, so fallen so far away from the Lord, that when they're faced with something spiritual, they got scared. I think they began to feel in their hearts where they were, what they had done, and they were afraid. And they, in the 16th verse, "And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine." That is, the people that had been tending the swine had then gone to town and brought these other people back, and they've explained to them what has happened. And those people then, "And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast." hey, would you leave? We're afraid. We just want you to go away. That's the reaction that this people had to the Lord. These Jewish people that had received this promise, their descendants said, go away. We want you to get out of our country, out of our town. We don't want you around here. And that is about the most saddest thing that I can think of, just short of a lost person dying without the Lord and spending eternity in hell, is a people telling God, we don't want you around. We don't want your spirit here. And I'm afraid that I can see how that could happen with God's people, how God's people could get cold and distant and separate themselves from God to a point eventually where they don't want to feel that. Because when God's people get separated from God, and I'm talking about saved people, when they allow themselves to get enmeshed in the world and covered up with the world, then they're doing wrong. And at some point, when the Spirit comes around and they recognize it, and they're going to recognize what they've done, how that they've allowed themselves to get entangled in the world and separated from God, not separated from losing their souls now, mind you, I'll never say that, but separated from being in the center of God's will and not serving Him and just going along and living life the way they want to live, which I think is what this people had done. And then suddenly the Spirit of the Lord is there. They're in with other people that are drawn near to the Lord and have been praying and are in communication with the Lord, and that's going to bring it back around a feeling of condemnation, of conviction. Not to the saving of the soul again, but to the repentance of the sin. And then a person has a choice. Are you going to allow that to enter into your heart? Are you going to repent and admit that you've done wrong and bow down and ask the Lord to forgive you and to put you back in, just as David did in the Old Testament? David asked the Lord to restore to him the joy of his salvation because of the sins that he had committed. That's not what this people did. They could have. They had that opportunity there, but they didn't. They said, go away from us. Please, please, just leave. And God's people today can do the same thing. You've got two examples in the Bible there of the example that David gave, where he repented and asked the Lord to restore to him the joy of his salvation, or this people here that said, no, we're scared and just depart from our coast. We just want to go back to the way we were living our lives, and we just want to carry on like we were. And the Lord listened to that. The Lord listened to His people today. If that's what they say, if they say, you know, we're kind of not really comfortable being different. We want people to look at us and we want them to think, oh yeah, they're going to church just like everybody else is going to church. Yeah, they're going to sing some songs just like everybody else is going to sing some songs. And there's not really anything different about those people over there and these people over here and those over there. If that's the way we as God's people want to be, the Lord, He's going to listen to us and He's going to do what He did with them. He's just going to leave. But we are different. And we need to understand that. And we need to, when we have sin, because we're people, we're human beings, we sin. I sin just, I guess, every day. I'm sure I sin every day. But I don't want to be like this. I want to be like David. I want to acknowledge my sins and I want to ask the Lord to forgive me, that I can carry on and do what the Lord told this man, this that had been possessed by these devils. The Lord told that man in the 19th verse here, He says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not. Jesus didn't allow that man to get on the ship and go with him. He thought that's what the man wanted to do. But He told him, go home to thy friends. Go home to this people that told me to leave. You go back to them and you tell them what I did for you. You testify. You be my witness. That's what we as God's people need to do. You know, a lot of times we want to just go home. I mean, I think when things get hard and tough and you're faced with problems, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I think about, you know, I'd kind of like to just go on home, go into heaven and not have to deal with this, not have to put up with these things that go on in this world. But that's not what is my lot to do. What I should be doing, and I fail a lot of times, what I should be doing is tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. That's what we as God's people need to be doing. We need to be telling the world what the Lord has done for us, telling the people that we work with, that we meet every day. And it's not a hard thing to do. It really isn't. But it's not a comfortable thing to do. It doesn't go along with what these people of Gad did. It's because they were comfortable. They were settled in their ways. I suspect that the land that they chose there was probably a good land. They wouldn't have chosen it. They probably had built for themselves a good life. Now, I understand that, probably about 2,000 years had passed since the original people had settled that land and this people had come to the people that we're dealing with in our lesson today. That wasn't the exact same people. They were many generations removed, but nevertheless, the thoughts and the processes and the spiritual things are the same today as it was at that time, and that it was in the time of King David, and the choices that we have to make are the same. But anyway, he says, tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. The Lord would have had compassion on those other people as well, and still will have compassion on people today if they will allow him to do that. Now, the title of our lesson, I didn't know whether I wanted to go with this or not, but it says, Not Sick, Just Full of the Devil, was the title of our lesson. And I understand that there are people who have mental illness today. And the title of our lesson is kind of like trying to differentiate between mental illness and people that are evil. And the reason I kind of hesitate to even bring this up is because I think that people can be in their right minds and be what we would consider normal and still be evil. And, you can be a good person. I also think that there may be people that are mentally ill as well, and they still have the choice of whether or not to follow after evil. So I don't really want to get too much into that. What I do want to get into is this man that was possessed by the devil. Now, we don't really think of people as being possessed by the devil anymore. And I don't think that it's, you see, there's movies that come out. One that stands out in my mind, and I never saw this movie, I'll tell you right now, but I saw the previews, and it came out a long time ago, and that was The Exorcist, where the child is possessed by the devil, and the priest goes, and I assume he cast it out. Like I said, I didn't see that movie, so I don't really know. But I don't believe at all that that's the way things are. But I do think that people can give themselves over into sin to a point that it takes over their life, till they become driven by that. And I want you to stop and think of all the many different sins that people can commit. I mean, just to name a few, I think there's alcoholism, drug abuse, immorality, as far as fornication. And I mean, there's a lot of different sins. And people, whether they're lost or saved, will generally agree with us on those things. That most people in the world will agree with you that it's wrong to be drunk. They'll agree with you that it's wrong to steal, that it's wrong to kill, to lie. Those are mostly universal. Now, you'll have a few people that'll kind of stand up, but just overall, people are going to agree with you that those things are wrong. And they will try to avoid those things, the just general sin. They'll try to avoid that and to live a good life. But I think it's possible that if you don't put up any effort and you're willing to go after one of those sins, and you don't really think that it's such a big deal, that you can get caught up in it. And Satan watches and he waits and he sees when a person is weak with that, and he'll fuel that fire and he'll be there to increase your desire for those things, to make you become addicted to whatever it might be Now, I don't think anybody here, if we had some kind of illegal drug, heroin or cocaine or something, and it was laying up here, I don't believe anybody here would come up and take that drug and take it home with them and use it. Because you would think that it's wrong, and it would be. But, you know, by the same token, it's possible that we might become hurt and have a prescription drug, and I don't have a problem with that, a painkiller. That's okay. But you know, Satan is just around the corner waiting for these opportunities, and we as God's people need to be on a constant vigilant guard. And I'm just using this drugs as an example. It can be any sin. And he may be there saying, you know, Bert, you hurt your back, and that doctor gave you those pills, and they really helped, and it made you feel good. Now, I can say this from experience, because I had a hurt back at one point, and I couldn't even stand up straight. I had to walk around bent over for about a week, and the doctor did prescribe some muscle relaxers for me, and they made me feel good, I'll tell you. I mean, they really did. Beyond relieving the pain, it was just so relaxing. I guess that's probably the most relaxed and comfortable I have ever been. And I went back a week later, and I was better, but I still had pain. And he said, well, I can't prescribe any more of those. Those are highly addictive. And I'm going, man, because I really wanted those. And I fully believe that I could have become addicted to them. And up to that point, I had never used drugs. I didn't get into drugs. Until that point, I never really understood how these people get hooked on drugs and will do anything to get more of those drugs. I understand it now. I really do, because if that doctor had written me another prescription, I'd have gone and gotten it filled, and I'd have been happy about it. And I can see how that can carry on, and I can see how a person can get to the point that they get to. The point of all that long-windedness was that Satan is there ready when you commit any sin to help you see how enjoyable that was, to help you to point out, well, there's just that wasn't that bad. You didn't really do anything that wrong. Here, just a little over this way a little bit more, and it's even better. And I think that's how people get to a point where they are so caught up into just becoming an evil, what we would say an evil person, because they started off with something that just didn't seem that wrong. And Satan was there, and that person was willing to go along, to follow along, because most people will look at that and say, you know, you're getting addicted to that drug. You're getting addicted to that bottle of alcohol. You're getting addicted to whatever sin, because all of the sin, people wouldn't commit sin if it wasn't pleasurable. They wouldn't commit sin if it looked ugly, but sin doesn't look ugly. It looks good. Satan makes it look that way. The Bible teaches us that Satan is able to appear as an angel of light. Satan can look good, and he'll be there looking good and offering up stuff to people that looks good, and people are going to want it. But I believe even unsaved people have something going off in the back of their mind saying, oh, wait a minute, this looks good, and it'd be pleasurable, but something's wrong. Wait, watch out now. So they have a choice as to whether to go on and follow after that or whether to back off. And I'm not sure what's wrong here, but this is wrong. People can go on, I think, and just give themselves up over unto that until they become what, for lack of a better word, I would say possessed by the devil. So caught up in whatever that sin is that it just controls their life. And they live for that one thing, whatever it may be. Because they've allowed themselves, they've opened themselves up to Satan and just taken it all in. And they ran with it. Now, I want to go just for a second to the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy in the first verse. And it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding them to stay from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, it says here, speaking that in the latter times, I think that from the time the Bible was written until now is the latter time. I don't think it's talking about the last few years before the Lord comes back, but I think it's been the latter times since the Bible was written. And it says, some shall depart from the faith. All right. Atheists don't have any faith, not in God, not in the Bible. He's not talking about lost people. He's talking about, I believe, saved people, because they're the people that have the faith. But some shall depart from the faith. We as God's children are open to these things, giving heed to seducing spirits. Not a spirit that's going to come up with a gun or a baseball bat and force somebody into doing wrong, but a spirit that's going to come up and say, it's not that bad. Doesn't it look good? Would I lie to you? Come on. A seducing spirit, tempting people, dragging them down. And doctrines of devils, things that Satan himself has come up with. And, you know, it says devils, plural there. I think there's only one Satan, but I think that Satan has a lot of, and Satan is an angel, we know that. But there are a lot of other angels also, and I suppose different angels have different powers. I really don't know. I don't understand that. And I suppose different devils and demons have different powers. But Satan is out there educating his henchmen, for lack of a better word, those other, and he's coming up with these things, and he's handing them out to them. And doctrines of devils, that's what's leading people astray. But the Bible says that that people will depart from the faith. I want to turn now to 1 John chapter 4. And it says, chapter 4, verse 1 of 1 John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. When John wrote that, he said, oh, even now that spirit is in the world. Even now that error, that spirit that leads men astray is in the world, is what he's saying. And he's telling God's own people, try the spirits. Look at where it's coming from. Look at what it's leading you to think, what it's leading you to believe. And I want to, you know, that leading you to think, that's where our sin first begins. It's not with an action, it's with a thought. And it is sin. The Bible teaches us that our thoughts are sometimes sinful. But we can watch out. We might not keep that thought from coming into our head, but we can stop the actions. We have control of our actions. And we can keep those, we can stop from proceeding with those and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. One other thing here, and I'll be done, and that's in the 5th chapter of 1 John, and it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. We have the choice today to allow things to become idols to us. And I don't mean idols like golden calves and worshiping objects. I mean idols as in money or jobs or cars or whatever it is that separates us from God, whatever it is that we put as a priority above God. That's an idol, no matter what it might be. And Satan's out there, again, polishing things up, making them look good, making them look, and it doesn't have to be something that's wrong. It doesn't have to be the things I mentioned earlier. Satan can make a new car, a ball game, whatever, look good to the point that we desire that more than we desire to humble ourselves before God and worship Him and pray to Him. And He can fill our minds with those things. It's a constant battle, and it's something that we as God's people needs to be on guard and watching out after, not to be seduced by those things, because they are idols. And John is talking to God's people. Don't give yourselves over to idols. That's everything that I've got for today. I hope y'all got something from it. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments? Appreciate y'all being here.
Each man of these devils go into the swines, and they went down the ocean and got drowned. Did the spirits get drowned with them?
No, I don't believe so. I don't think that the spirits, the devils have an end. Where they went, I don't know. There's nothing else. Let's be dismissed and just pray that the Lord will meet with us today. Help us to keep our minds clear of things from the world. Don, would you dismiss us?
Kind of righteous Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this another together. We thank Thee for this Sunday school lesson was taught this morning. Lord, may we take this and ponder in our heart. Ask now that You might go with us to the morning worship, maybe the pastor. Heaven, as You speak, You might say the things that we need to hear this time. Forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, and our mistakes. May we bless and we ask in the name of Jesus. For His sake we pray. Amen.
Oh yeah, no problem.